Hello and welcome to this Meetings Today podcast. I'm Tyler Davidson, Vice President and Chief Content Director for Meetings Today. And we are joined today by a very busy man, Lee, who leads Visit Indy as CEO and President, and is also the new chair of PCMA, Leonard Hoops. Thanks for joining us, Leonard.
Thanks for having me, Tyler.
And I was at PCMA convening leaders. You guys at PCMA must be very happy with the success of that program. A record number of attendees, probably a little north of 5,000, both in person and online. You know, what do you attribute that to? I know you had the star power of the Clintons. You had a great destination in San Diego when a lot of the rest of the country was feeling cold due to the winter. And I believe you kind of picked up a lot of momentum later on in the process to get those attendees. So what are you guys at PCMA talking about in regards to why that was such a success?
Yeah, I think there were three factors there, and you kind of alluded to all of them. One of them, location does matter, obviously, and particularly in January, having a coastal southwestern, you know, Southern Californian destination like San Diego is definitely going to be a draw. Now, of course, we were all kind of surprised it wasn't as warm even there as we had expected, but certainly not like the Midwest and the East were getting that same week. But, you know, some of those evening events were in the low 50s. But the but still, San Diego is always going to be a draw. When I worked in San Francisco, I always knew what a tough competitor they were because it's a beautiful city. It's got everything you could want in a convention destination. And so without question, I think San Diego was a factor in that. I think another factor is the content, in particular, the main stage speakers like the Clintons, you know, regardless of, you know, people's political leanings, people like to hear from ex-presidents and ex-secretary of states. And there's great storytelling there and great insights on how the world is working. And I think that could be a factor. I haven't seen the actual data to see how the registrations were picked up, you know, relative to, you know, how close into the final deadline it was. But it wouldn't surprise me if you're not right there that some people who were on the fence looked at it and said, oh, okay, I would like to see them in person. I'd like to be at that general session. That was extremely well attended general session, probably the best attended general session I've ever seen at PCMA. And then third, I don't think we should discount this. I think it's really indicative of the industry getting back to pre-pandemic levels. We came out of the pandemic and went to Vegas, and that wasn't quite the full crowd. And I think it was, I don't remember which the COVID variants were happening at the time, but when Vegas happened, it was around that time for one of those variants that was still going on. And then, you know, last year in Columbus, I think we were not still quite dug fully out. And I think 2024 convening leaders is indicative that we're back to pre-pandemic. I just had my state of tourism for Visit Indy yesterday, and all our numbers in 2023 were back to pre-pandemic levels, including a couple all-time records, you know, on our key metrics. And so I think, you know, now we're at that state where we're saying, hey, this is, life has returned.
And you also got to kind of lay down the law on the pickleball court too, right?
Yeah, that was an interesting Seattle match, right? So our friends at Visit Seattle, where they note that pickleball was invented in Seattle, invited me and Sheriff to play a game for charity. And we decided to do it because the money was going to go to the PCMA Foundation. But both Sheriff and I were a bit, putting ourselves out there because neither one of us had ever played pickleball. And I hit the ball around for about 10 minutes, maybe 2 hours before the match, and Sheriff did the same. And it maybe, just maybe, pickleball is a little bit more of my game than it is his, as it turns out. But I wouldn't want to have to challenge him to like a powerlifting contest. So we all have our strengths.
There you go. Well, you got some ideas for next year's conference for sure.
I think it would be better to do doubles matches so we don't have to put people mano a mano. You can deflect some of the success work or blame in a doubles match.
Yeah, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen though, right?
Yeah, well, I did rather enjoy it though. It turned out to be a lot more fun than I anticipated.
Well, let's get to what's going on in Indianapolis and Visit Indy. I mean, you got a lot of big things coming up. NBA All-Star Game, Olympic tryouts, Indy 500, of course, three Taylor Swift shows. That's your year's numbers right there. And then a solar eclipse. I mean, what kind of dark magic did you conjure to get a solar eclipse?
No, I'm glad you brought that up. It takes a lot to get the cosmos aligned. But it just seems like everything aligned, period, for Indy in 2024. To your point, we'll start off with the NBA All-Star. But we've already had a bunch of major conventions. We had or major events, I should say. We had over 30,000 cheerleaders in for an event called JamFest recently, which was their all-time record number of attendees for that event. And we're rolling into a couple events. We just announced yesterday the NFL Combine is extended by another year into 2025. But in February, for the first time since 1985, we will host the NBA All-Star Game, and it's very different in 2024 than it was in 85. It's a full weekend, more than a weekend, really, with all sorts of different events. And we're expecting 125,000 people, 1,800 national and international media. That's going to be a great, great week. The entire downtown is essentially being turned into almost like a giant basketball court with Monument Circle, like the top of the key. Which is our downtown, which takes you down to Gainbridge Fieldhouse. From there in March, we'll go into March Madness, first and second rounds of the NCAA. In April, we've got that eclipse on April the 8th at 3:06 p.m. We'll have that total solar eclipse. It's the last one over North America until 2044. It's the last one over Indianapolis until 2153.
Wow.
We won't be around to see it. Maybe I'll catch it up 2044, but 53, I don't think so. In May, we have the Indy 500, as you've noted, which we should never not mention it because it's 325,000 people every year.
Yeah.
June is the USA Swimming Trials. Fun story on the USA Swimming Trials. The winners of those trials will go on to represent the U.S. in Paris in 2024. 100 years ago in 1924, the USA Olympic Swimming Trials were in Indianapolis and the games were in Paris. So a century later, history repeats itself, and that's really, really cool. After that, we've got something called the Eucharistic Congress, National Eucharistic Congress. That's essentially, I jokingly call it the Super Bowl for Catholics. It hasn't been on U.S. soil for decades, but we're expecting well over 100,000 people to come to Indianapolis for that event. We've been told it's been in the hundreds of thousands when it's been in places like South America. And then, you know, a bunch of other events, and you ultimately get to November 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, and Travis Kelce's girlfriend, Taylor Swift, will come to town, and we'll have three concerts. And we're, you know, we've already, there's evidence of the concert she's done in other cities for like three nights. It is its own GDP-producing moment. I mean, you're talking about 200,000 people over the course of three nights coming to town from all over the world, because people... we're just trying to get tickets wherever. So you get people buying tickets from all over the world, all not just the U.S., not just Indiana, just everywhere, who will be in Indy that week to check her out. So pretty amazing 2024 on deck.
And then I guess you have a $1.7 billion in new tourism infrastructure underway. And also I should note that you were named the number one convention city in America by USA Today. But let's talk about some of that tourism infrastructure. Your convention center is undergoing its sixth expansion. You have a new 800-room Signia by Hilton Hotel coming in, which is a fantastic meetings brand. And then a new Intercontinental opening on Monument Circle. Maybe tell us about those projects.
You know, one of the fun things about Indianapolis is during the pandemic, we decided to double down on this business. A lot of people thought we were crazy, particularly in the 2021, everybody started kind of coming out of it. But in 2020, we had a 25-0 vote by our city county council to expand the center. That's when that expansion part of it got going. The actual Signia by Hilton didn't get approved until a couple months ago. We broke ground on that August 1st of 2023. And so, but between September of 2020 and August of 2023, we said, this is what we do. This is what we do. We believe better than anybody in the country. You mentioned USA Today. Now we've been that ranking since 2014. They've never updated it. We hope they never do. There's nowhere to go but down, but we don't rest on that laurel. We don't simply sit here and say, hey, we're going to be number one forever. You know, we're about quality, not necessarily quantity. We're not the biggest. There are bigger centers. There are bigger airports. But when people meet in Indy, they know why we get this rating. We've got The Signia will give us 5,500 rooms connected by skywalks to our convention center. I mean, that'll be the 12th or 13th hotel, clear. I can't remember which we're either 12 or 13, but it's going to be 5,500 rooms connected by skywalks. Even on a day like today in January in Indianapolis, where it's flurries outside, you can be 72 degrees because you don't have to leave your, a building with walls and a ceiling to ultimately get into the convention center. So we're very excited about this. The sixth expansion adds a 50,000 square foot ballroom. So it does a couple of things. Number one, it allows us to take care of our biggest and best customers even better. We have the ability, we have three annuals that are over 60,000 people and several more that are 30,000 plus that are annuals. And so we can handle the biggest events, whether it's a Super Bowl, whether it's a Gen Con or an FFA or a Do It Best or a Fire Department Instructors Conference, all these sorts of things. But the addition of a 50,000 square foot ballroom and an 800 room Signia really lets us look at our campus as two connected campuses, what we would call our Maryland Street campus, which goes from your 1,000 room JW down Maryland Street, and then also a Capitol Avenue campus, which is where the Signia is going to be aligned, which also has an Omni and a Crown Plaza and a Hyatt. And so now we've got the ability to take groups that are maybe more like 2,500 rooms on peak, and maybe you're 10 to 15,000 people instead of 60,000, and layer them in two halves of the building at the same time, or maybe they're just staggered by a couple of days, things like that. But that's the real game changer for us, is being able to accommodate, instead of just mega groups, a bunch of these mid-sized groups who can coexist.
And then how about the Intercontinental? Tell me more about that.
I love the addition of the Intercontinental. It's in a historic building called the Illinois Building, just a block off Monument Circle. It's really basically attached to Monument Circle. And it's a block away, even though it's not connected. You literally cross the street from the Intercontinental and you can enter a TJ Maxx store. And that TJ Maxx then gets you into the connected walkways that takes you all the way to the convention center. You don't leave. Once you walk into the TJ Maxx, you don't leave the indoors. So it's kind of weatherproof like that. So it's that close. And it's 170 rooms, and it is an absolute premium. I would describe it more in that Mark Hopkins Intercontinental style, because it's a historic building. The owner is also the owner of the Indy 11 soccer team, and he does things really, really well. It's going to have a rooftop bar. One of the things that I think Indianapolis doesn't have enough of as yet is the 4.5-5-star niche. A boutique hotels. We've got a Conrad. We've got some nice properties like that, a Bottle Works, but a 170 room Intercontinental that is going to be 5-star is going to be amazing.
And another note that I have is Bleacher activations. As you said, Indianapolis, I've been there and I was very just pleasantly surprised by what a great convention district there is, the stuff to do. A lot of people might not think of it as a leisure destination, but that's something you're promoting now. Maybe tell us more about that.
Yeah, and really, as convention districts go, it's one of the more leisure-oriented convention districts you can find. The big surprise to people, and it probably was to you too, is the fact that we have a 250-acre state park and canal district immediately. I mean, you cross the street from the JW Marriott, and you're in that park. And that park has got museums, like a great museum, Western Art, the Adelgeorg. It's got the Indiana State Museum, which it's like, well, what is an Indiana State Museum? Well, it's this beautiful museum of all sorts of interesting rotating exhibits and the state's largest IMAX theater that's right on a canal walk. It's got a top 10 U.S. zoo as part of that park. And that zoo, I've seen ranked as high as second in the country behind San Diego. So people who like that kind of activity. We are expanding that park, by the way, by another 10 acres. Looking to build an urban beach. We got inspired by Paris. Paris builds a beach, from the late spring to the late summer along the Seine. And we're actually doing something comparable as part of the next phase on the west side of this White River State Park. And so having this park right downtown, and then on top of that, we're activating the waterway, the White River that park surrounds immediately to the north, which takes you up to Newfields, which is our art museum. And some other things like that. So you're going to see a lot more activity. We actually brought a group of state and city leaders to Singapore in November of last year because we wanted them to look at Gardens by the Bay. And so there's all sorts of really fun things that are happening in Indy right now to activate the river, kind of the way Singapore figured out how to activate their waterways. And then the soccer stadium that I mentioned, the owner of the Intercontinental also owns the soccer stadium. They're building a brand new soccer stadium that seats 20,000. That's going to be a great venue for convention and trade show groups as well, for outdoor concerts. And it's right on the river, and it's in walking distance of the convention center.
And I guess you guys just landed the NFL Combine in 2025, and you guys do a bang up job with the sports segment, right? You're always been very big in that. But what are some of your goals as the leader of Visit Indy, as far as attracting new market segments? I believe one of them would be like medical and pharma meetings. Why don't maybe tell people what you're up to in that regard?
Well, when we first announced Insignia, even with the delays because of the pandemic and things like that, we got a couple of really big wins based on the fact that was coming. American Dental, for example, which would traditionally meet maybe more like in a Chicago in their Midwest rotation, is meeting in Indy in 2026. That opened a lot of eyes from others in the medical community. There are two groups that I wish I could tell you on this podcast right now that are what we, the term verbal definites. That have given us a verbal definite for 2 years in the 2030s that are major, major medical groups. Clients that I had in San Francisco that 10 years ago would have never looked at Indy, but because of the phase six expansion and what we're doing on the leisure side have now bought in. But you'll hear about them later in the year once we get the site inspections done and the paperwork for the signed contracts and all that. But that, I think when we announced these two groups, one of which told us, the senior executive on the meetings team told me, you know why we're picking Indy? Because you're the next big thing. I've seen Austin become a big thing. I've seen Nashville become a big thing. You guys are the next big thing. And when you do what I do for a living and you have somebody from a major medical association tell me that he sees that, I mean, I see it, obviously, but I'm biased. And when he tells me he sees that, that makes me pretty darned excited that that the momentum that we've been feeling here is now starting to seep out into the everywhere else.
Well, great. Thanks for joining us today, Leonard.
Yeah, thank you, Tyler. You invite me to talk about Indy. It's my favorite topic in the world right now.
Well, you got a lot to talk about, a lot going on. So I appreciate you educating our audience on that.
Thank you.
And that was Leonard Hoops, President and CEO of Visit Indy. I'm Tyler Davidson, Vice President and Chief Content Director for Meetings Today. Thank you for joining us for this Meetings Today podcast. If you're interested in other podcasts we've done with meetings and events industry thought leaders, head on over to meetingstoday.com and check out our podcast section. Thank you for joining us today. And no matter what you're up to with the rest of it, go out and make it great.